Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Jet. Jet is the shopping site that makes it easy to save money on the stuff you buy all the time. For $10 off your first three orders over $35, visit jet.com and enter the promo code Campfire at checkout. Thanks, Jet. Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by the Mysteries Cruise. Join me, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Micah Hanks for a cruise that you'll not forget November 8th through the 13th. And they have a great deal going on right now. I want you to go over and check it out, mysteriescruise.com. That's mysteriescruise.com. And I'll see you there.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to this edition of The Campfire. I'm so glad you decided to join us. Thank you for tuning in. And we have some great spooky stories for you tonight. Now, you know, there are a lot of newcomers on the stage to podcasting. And there's some great shows, and maybe there are a few that aren't so great. But we've been here for the long haul, been podcasting since 2005. The Campfire has been burning brightly since 2009, so I would appreciate it if you keep us up on the charts. And that's something that I can't do, only you can do it. So, if you can, please, wherever you may listen, please subscribe to the podcast so you get it automatically. That bumps us up in the charts. Please review us. Put a 2 or 3 sentence review in where you can say why you love The Campfire and why it is the original, despite imitators, and why you stick with it. And also, please rate us. I certainly do appreciate it. It's one of those things where when you're successful at something, a lot of people do it. And some do well, and maybe others maybe not so well. We still like to think we're the first and hopefully the best in terms of podcasts where you come for true supernatural stories. So your help is much appreciated. And since you're here to hear some stories, not me blathering on. So we're here, we have The Campfire Stories. We have a return caller on the line. Matt joins us again from Wales, and he called a while back with a fantastic story. This one was about a friend of his, the angel of the underground, I think we called it at the time, his friend called it. And now he has his own experience to share. And Matt, you've got a big act to follow with that story. But I know you have one that happened to you personally that, you know, you took some time to get a resolution on. Tell us what happened.
This was sort of strange, really. I was in a band called Mother Earth, and we were on tour in a place called Linz in Austria, mid-tour. And being on a tour bus, we rarely got to get to a hotel to, you know, have a decent night's sleep and everything. But this was a particular stop off where this old kind of is part of a monastery, this venue, and part an art place. But they had some beds and like a little dormitory kind of thing. Two bedroom rooms with adjoining bathrooms. And there was us and another band called Corduroy. And me and the keyboard player in our band picked at the end of the corridor, the first bedroom. No big deal about that or anything. But the bass player and the drummer, Chris and Neil, used to do these kind of, not rec rooms, but put furniture in different places. This sort of kind of, I thought, came into it. But so, cut a long story short, we did the show, and none of us ended up actually staying in these rooms. But before the sound check, during the afternoon, myself and Bryn, keyboard player, put our bags in the first room. And I went into the adjoining bathroom and was having a shave, and I felt there's someone behind me, but I thought there can't be because I'm looking in the mirror. There's no one there, but it felt odd. And then later that night, when we left the venue and went back on the tour bus, actually, I spoke to Simon out of the other band, and I said, did you get to sleep this afternoon or use the beds? He said, no. He said, you were in the second room, weren't you? Because I'd long hair now, but I had long hair then. And he said, "You were asleep in the second room." And I said, "No, I was in the first room." He said, no, I could see your long hair." I thought, this comes back later on, this bit of the story. So I said, no. I said, "I didn't even get into the bed. I said, I just had a shave in the bathroom when we did a sound check." But what I did notice on my bed and Bryn's bed in the first bedroom was all of the furniture, like the side tables, were put onto our beds for some reason. I just assumed at the time it was the drummer and the bass player. So I thought, oh, well, they're just being silly, whatever. Later on that night, I spoke to the tour manager on the bus, and I said it was a bit of a strange place there. I said, and I felt a bit spooked out by the being in the bathroom. I said, "Has anything weird happened?" And he said to me, he said, "I was speaking to the venue owner. He said, there was a bloke called Snake Fingers from another band had died in the second room."
Oh, boy.
Right. And that's the only information I had. This is 1995. Cut then to 2003. And I, through the music industry, got to know a really good guitarist from the 60s who knew like Jimmy Page and people, called Martin Stone.
Of course.
Who sadly passed away last year. But we did a couple of shows together in London, right, completely unrelated to Mother Earth, nothing to do with the band I was in, just two musicians playing. And just by chance, I spoke to him about this. I think we were talking about ghost stories. And I said, "Yeah, there's a bloke called Snake Finger." He went, "Oh, my God." I went, "What do you mean?" He said, "Wow, Snake Finger." He said, "Is my mate." He said, "I was in a band with him called Chili Willy and the Hot Peppers."
A great name.
So he said, I said, "Right." He said, so I told him the story. I said, you know, I said, he was, I said, I was, you know, I had sort of longish curly hair at the time and everything. He said, "Yeah, it's exactly his hair, long black curly hair like yours, Matt." And I said, "Right." I said, "What?" And he said, "Well," he said, "he died in Linz in a venue. He said he died in bed. He had a heart attack. And it was in the second room that the other guitarist thought he saw me in that bed. But I think he saw this Snake Finger or an apparition." He said he couldn't get out the room. He had a heart attack and he died, which freaked me out a little bit. Because I said, "Well, this is 1995 that we had this experience." So we were playing this venue that night, and just to finish this off, he said, "Oh, you'll have to tell his wife." And I said, "Well, how do I do that?" He said, "Well, she's coming tonight." He said, "It'll probably give her a little bit of comfort." He said, "Because me and Snake Finger used to, you know, in the 60s, they'd seen a ghost." That's another story. But they both looked at each other and said, "Whoever dies first will leave a sign for the other person." He said, "Maybe that was it via you. He's told me." He sort of, "Now we've both met, Snake Fingers has come through." So he said, "Tell his widow this tonight." So I spoke to Snake Fingers' widow that night. And in passing, I then said, it was funny. I said, I was in the first bedroom. I said, didn't even like sleep in the bed. I said, but our drummer and bass player, so they put all the furniture on the beds. And she looked at Martin Stone and they went quiet. And I said, why are you looking at each other? And they said, That's what he always did, Snake Finger. He always put furniture on people's beds. So it's all a bit odd. So not only was he seen next door in the bed, but I don't know. Because then I asked the bass player and the drummer at Mother Earth, I said, "Did you?" They said, "No, we didn't put any furniture on the beds that night. We don't do that anyway." So,
wow.
I double confirmed it with everyone. And so, I mean, make of it what you will, but it was a strange, strange 1995 gig. And then to find out later that it all came round. And a finishing one for that is when Snake Finger died and Snake Finger was a violinist in this band. Martin played guitar. After Martin came back from the funeral and I'd got one of Snake Finger's guitar, he played guitar and violin, Snake Finger. He took one of his guitars back. Snake Finger's wife said, "Have this guitar, Martin." Martin was in bed that night in France, and he heard a guitar called come out of the guitar case.
Wow.
So I don't know what that's about either. It's all a bit freaky to me. But that was That was a story that started in 95 and was finished in 2003.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, a lot of people will come on and they'll have one great story and then they'll say, well, I've got another story and the story is so-so. I got to tell you, you come with two great stories, the Angel of the Underground on your previous appearance and this one about Snakefinger. That's fantastic. I love that story. And I guess Snakefinger was able to get his message across.
I think he has. So that's the lovely thing about it. He's out there somewhere on another plane with Martin now. So I like to think that anyway. So I have more ghost stories, but I'll tell you those another time.
Excellent. Well, hey, with stories like that, come on anytime you want. Matt, thank you for joining us. I know you stayed up late to accommodate the schedule. I appreciate it. And thanks for being a part of the campfire again.
Pleasure, Jim. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Melissa is on the line from warm and sunny Miami, Florida, but she's going to tell us a story about when she had moved to Minnesota, of all places, for college and some strangeness that happened. Melissa, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. I know you've been listening for a couple of months, so welcome as a new listener and as a storyteller, and tell us what happened.
Thank you for having me, Jim. Well, pretty much it's a little bit of background first. I moved to Minnesota. It was a small town in Minnesota called St. Joseph's, Minnesota. And I went to college there about 2 years ago. I moved back in 2014. So that school was very old. I did my little research, and the school started in about late 1800s. So it has quite a lot of history. Mm-hmm. It started off as the monastery, so it's a very religious school.
Right.
It's called College of St. Benedict in Minnesota. And a lot of creepy stuff had happened to me before, but nothing too bad, too scary. But one in particular that stuck out to me the most was one day I was taking a shower in, because I lived in the upperclassmen buildings. There were apartment buildings for the rest of the upperclassmen. But in the basement, there was like dorms. And then they had their own shared bathroom. And I was the only room in the basement being occupied. So there was three rooms, one being occupied. It's a huge like commutative bathroom, which I was pretty much the only one using it. And down in that basement was a laundry room and a lounge for that whole building. So one normal day, I was showering. And mind you, that bathroom doesn't have a sensor light switch. So, and the door is always being held by like a stopper, the wood door stopper.
Okay.
And I'm just showering, and all of a sudden, the lights turn off.
Ooh, so, that would be very spooky.
Yes, especially in the middle of a shower. So my first initial thought was someone walked by trying to be a prankster and turned off the light. So I quickly get out of my shower, put my towel on, and go investigate pretty much. And as I'm leaving the bathroom, the door is also shut, and the wooden stopper is under the stalls. So someone who, whatever it was, kind of kicked it under the stalls on the other side of the bathroom.
And you're probably at this point not thinking about a ghost necessarily, but maybe a person.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of here kind of angry.
Sure.
Someone interrupts the shower. So I go out quickly into the hallway, and I go check the laundry room. I go check the lounge, and there is no sign of anybody. Absolutely no sign. The laundry machines weren't going. They weren't hot. So no one had been using them at all that day. And the light switches in the lounge were censored. So if somebody was there, they would have sensed someone and turned on. So everything was off, and I was the only room down there occupied. So there was, I don't think it was anybody, kind of walking by and turning off the lights, especially like kicking the door, like kicking the stopper away from the door and kind of shutting it. There was no time to do that. And kind of like that 0.5 seconds that it all happened.
Wow.
So I got really like creeped out. So I went back in my shower, washed my hair out, quickly went to my room, got dressed, and left.
Don't blame you.
Yeah, it was extremely creepy, and that school has a lot of history, so a lot of other creepy stuff has happened to me as well in that little basement area where I live.
Do you have another one you'd like to share, another quick one?
Yes, actually, that was my first semester that I was there. My second semester, since that was the only room in that basement, I was, and I had a triple all to myself. So one evening, I just asked one of my friends to kind of sleep over my room and just watch movies and then go to sleep. So whatever, that night, we watched a movie, and we, when it was time for bed, I always used to kind of turn on the heater, because it was a basement in Minnesota, so it got really chilly. So I turned on the heater, and right before we went to bed, I kind of, I always turn it off, so the room is nice and warm for when we go to sleep.
Right.
So we go to sleep. I go to sleep on one side of the room, and my friend is on the other side of the room. And that night, the room always kind of like got chilly as the night went on. So that night, I went to sleep, and in the middle of the night, I wake up and it's boiling hot. It's boiling to the point where I think the heater is back on.
Oh my!
Yes, and then I'm kind of facing the wall. My bed is up against the wall. Mm-hmm. I'm facing the wall, and I just get this feeling like something is telling me not to look the other way, not to look into the room. So I'm freaked out. This thing, something is telling me not to look into the, like, in the room. I turn around and look into the room. So I'm freaked out, and I force myself to go back to sleep, pretty much.
Oh, my.
The next morning, I asked my friend, I'm like, hey, listen, did you feel something weird last night?
Mm-hmm.
And exactly, she told me the same exact thing. That the room got boiling hot, and that something was telling her not to look into the room, not to turn around and look into the room.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. So we don't know what that is. We don't know what happened. We don't know if it was kind of like malicious. Like something was telling us not to look through it. So it must have been something kind of protecting us, maybe.
Right. Right.
I have no idea. Wow.
Well, I'll tell you, Melissa, it sounds like it was a pretty spooky school.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I definitely left right after that happened.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad that you found the campfire, and thanks so much for signing up to tell your story.
Thank you so much, Jim. I had a blast.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Jet. Jet is a shopping site that makes it easy to save money on the stuff you buy all the time, and they have a huge selection. You can shop for anything from household supplies to groceries to furniture and jewelry, anything you need. You can find on Jet. And it's kind of cool the way they have it set up, because prices drop as you shop. The more you add to your cart, the more you can save. And there's no more membership or annual fees. You can get all these benefits without paying an extra price. Absolutely, positively, no membership or annual fees. Also, two-day delivery on thousands of everyday essentials, free shipping on orders over $35, and free returns within 30 days. And then you've got the world-class customer service 24/7 with their Jethead team in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I love that, the Jetheads. Now, I had an instance where I had a streaming box connected to my television, and I love streaming, and I've talked about different services I use. And anyway, it broke down. I must have burned it out. Yeah, I stream so much. And anyway, so I wanted to get something relatively quickly. So I hopped on Jet. I found the Roku streaming set stick. It was a tremendous price, the lowest price I'd seen anywhere. And I said, boom, I'm on it. Within 2 days, I had my streaming stick. Didn't have to run out to a store and fight the crowds and not find what I want anyway. Got a great price. Got delivered right home with no membership fee or anything like that. It was great. So I do recommend Jet.com. Again, great selection, competitive prices, fast and free shipping, and again, no membership fee. So this is the best part. Now, I love when a sponsor gives a fantastic offer, and this is one of the best I've ever seen. I've teamed up with Jet, And they're offering us all $10 off our first three orders over $35 if you go to jet.com and use the promo code Campfire at checkout. Again, listen to that. $10 off your first three orders over $35 if you go to jet.com and use the promo code Campfire at checkout. So if you had some things you were going to get for the house, hop on to jet.com, see if they've got them, and take advantage of that offer. I mean, that is really, that's money in your pocket. So give it a try. That's jet.com, promo code Campfire for $10 off your first three orders over $35. Terms and conditions apply. See jet.com for details. Thanks, Jet. Jason is on the line from Georgia. He is a relatively new listener. He's going to tell us about a story that happened to him while he was in the military. Jason, thank you for your service, and please tell us what happened.
Sure. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, it's a great podcast. Been listening for a few months.
Thank you.
And first, I'd like to start by saying I'm not someone who's had a large number of supernatural encounters like some of your guests.
Okay.
Only a few under my belt.
Well, honestly, I'll tell you, let me say this real quick. Sometimes I think that the best stories are from people who don't have a lot of stories. I think there's a certain appeal to that. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, well, I think I got a good one.
Okay, good deal.
So I'm generally someone who does look for the rational answer for things, but the story I'm about to tell you, I just can't reconcile. And it happened to me in the late 1990s when I was a Marine stationed at the Marine Barracks in Washington, D.C., and that's the oldest post of the Marine Corps. It was founded in 1801, and I was living there in the barracks, which was kind of like a college dorm setup. The floor that I lived on had a long hallway with two-man rooms coming off each side, and I had a roommate, a guy named Andrew from Delaware. And one weekend, Andrew had gone home, and he had come back to the barracks with a silver crucifix, about 8 inches long, 5 inches wide, something around there. He was Catholic, and he chose to hang the crucifix above his bed. And the top of the crucifix had like a silver ring on it. And so he put a nail in the wall and he hung it on the nail above his pillow.
Right.
Oddly enough, we slept on the floor, because we were the Presidential Honor Guard, and our beds had to be perfectly made for inspection every morning. So we would sleep on the floor, and Andrew would go to bed listening to his Walkman. And so the first night that the crucifix was in our room, I was laying there on the floor next to Andrew, trying to get some sleep. And I heard a noise over the sound of his Walkman. And it was, the way I explain it, it's kind of funny, but it sounded like dingle, 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 the
right.
sound of kind of metal clinging on metal. And I couldn't really place it. I didn't know where it was coming from other than sort of Andrew's side of the room. I didn't feel terribly concerned. You know, we lived at the end of the hall, so the back side of that wall was where the payphone for the floor was located. So the noise stopped, and I went to sleep. The next night, I heard the same noise, and I shook at Andrew and said, "Hey, man, listen, do you hear this?" And he said he did, and he told me, you know, it's pipes in the wall, go to bed. And so I went to bed, and the next night, though, Andrew was out of the room, and I was sitting up watching TV, and I had my feet propped on Andrew's desk, and I can still get, like, chills thinking about it. Suddenly there was this, like, enormous thud on the wall, the wall where the desk was adjacent to, and in the same wall where the crucifix hung. And this thud was just an enormous thud, like a couple of guys had run into the wall on the other side. And at about the exact same time, the desk that my feet were on sort of rocked forward violently a few inches.
Huh.
And it was enough that, yeah, it was very freaky. It was enough that I withdrew my feet, you know, I pulled them back, I jumped up, my heart was racing. And then as I'm standing there just a second or two later, I hear dingle, dingle, dingle.
Huh.
And at this point I'm awake and the lights are on. So I look over and the crucifix is vibrating on the nail. Like it's
oh my
moving
Lord.
On the nail.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I run out of the room. I'm not acting very Marine-like at that moment. Run out of the room, turn the corner. I thinking somebody's, you know, where the payphone is on the other side of the wall. Somebody's messing around, but there was nobody there. And due to the setup of the barracks, it was not like someone could have run away before I rounded the corner. So that was pretty scary. And I stayed out of my room until Andrew came back. And I told him and some other Marines there, about the situation. And everybody, of course, told me calm down. It was probably pipes in the wall. And, you know, I was uneasy about it, but at the same time, I just rationalized it, justified it. Slept in the room, heard the dingle-dingle noise every night, but just tried to ignore it because there was nothing else except the noise going on at that point. And all the Marines made it a big joke about the ghost in my room, of course. But by this point, I'd really, again, just rationalized the whole thud thing away, and I was playing along with the ghost story. Well, then it was a Saturday afternoon, and my friend Tom was with me, and we were 19-year-old Marines, so of course, when Tom said, "Hey, let's go into your room and taunt the ghost to get the crucifix to move," all my bravado swelled up, and I said, "Yeah, that's a great idea." Now, I didn't even really believe that there was a ghost. I was, again, rationalizing this whole thing. But I went in anyway, and I started just going to town with all the, you know, force and verbal abuse and cussing that a young Marine could muster, going off on this ghost and telling it was weak and daring it to move the crucifix on demand. And after a few minutes of that, I literally said, I'm going to count down from 10. And if you're real, you know, you'll make this thing move. And I swear to you, I counted 10 to 1. And the minute I hit 1, I swear to you, the crucifix starts moving on the nail. And it was,
my goodness,
so freaky. Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Me and Tom both saw it happen. We jump up. We run out of the room. I mean, way scared, more scared than I was during the thud incident. And we run down the hall to Tom's room. We walk and run into Tom's room. And on the other side of his room, he had like some hooks on the wall where he had his Marine Corps covers, like our hats, hanging. And as we ran into his room, we're still 10 or 15 feet away from these hats. The green barracks cover that he had hanging up flew off the wall, like 3 feet. Like it flew. It didn't fall. It flew off the wall. And so we turned around and we ran out of Tom's room. And we actually ran to another Marine's room. And despite the fact that that guy answered the door in his underwear, he soon found himself with two roommates for the night. I was very scared. So we stayed out of the rooms, but my room and Tom's room, we were petrified until Andrew, my roommate, came home. And when he did, I told him the story. You know, I demanded, I said, you got to take that thing down. I take it down, take it down. And so he did. And all of the noise, the dingle dingle noise, the phenomenon, all that stopped. And, you know, I think that if my story ended there, it would still be a pretty good story.
Right.
But there's a little bit more.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So about a year and a half later, I was out on an advance party, which is like when a few Marines will go out into the woods before a larger group to
like
kind of
scouting.
Set up the communications.
Okay.
Scouting, yeah. So we got our communications set up, and no one was really training yet. So we made a campfire, and we told some ghost stories and ate some hot dogs. And there was only five of us in this advance party. And our lieutenant went first. He told a ghost story when he was a college student at Notre Dame. He was present for an exorcism in the dorms, and it was a pretty crazy story. And then this sergeant that was there with us named David, he starts telling his story because he had been stationed at the Marine barracks a few years prior, had left, and had come back recently. So he tells the story of going to bed one night, and his roommate was out, and he was sensed something was off. The room was dark, and he looked into the corner of his room, and he saw someone sitting in the chair that's in front of the window. And it was kind of, as he described it, the silhouette of Alanis Morissette, long, wavy hair.
Huh.
So he says, yeah, he says he ducks his head under the blankets, tries to convince himself he's seeing things, peeks out again, figure's still there, jumps up, runs out, gets a friend. They go back in, they investigate, no one's there. And so he waits for David. He says he waits for his roommate to come home. And when his roommate does, he tells his roommate the story. And his roommate's reply was, "Oh, her? Yeah, she seems nice. I don't think she wants to hurt us."
Oh, my.
And so when David finished telling me that story around that campfire, and remember, I hadn't told my story to David.
Right.
And I hadn't talked about my ghost incident in a year and a half. But after he finished telling that story that night, I said, "Hey, man, when you lived in the barracks and that happened, that room, where did you live? What room were you in?" And you guessed it. You guessed it, Jim. The room that David lived in when he was in the barracks was the same room I had lived in.
Wow.
And I cannot explain all of that, but something did not like that crucifix.
Yeah, that makes you think. It, I wouldn't think it would be a good spirit if it doesn't like a crucifix. I mean, what would it be? It would be maybe the opposite of that.
It made that ghost or spirit or whatever very angry. And once we took down the crucifix, it all stopped. So
makes me
got what it wanted.
Reminds me of the church lady, but you're probably too young to remember that. Saturday Night Live used to.
Oh no, I remember
the church lady.
Harvey, yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't know, who could it be? Well, thank you so much.
that's a good memory, Jim.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thanks so much, Jason. I appreciate it. Thanks again for your service to the country. We appreciate it. People like you help keep us safe, and I appreciate all of them. I know we have a lot of listeners in the military, and I know that's I'm very honored by that. Thanks again, Jason.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Annie is calling in from Denver. She's a fairly new listener. And she has a story that happened to her when she was very young in Costa Rica. And then some validation came her way. Annie, welcome to the program and tell us what happened.
Thanks, Jim. So this story starts about, I think I was either 12 or 13. I had taken a school trip to Costa Rica. We were kind of traveling everywhere. At one point in the trip, we went to Monteverde Cloud Forest. It's pretty desolate region. It's full of lots of jungle. If you Google pictures of it, or if you've been there before, it is really, mountainous. It's surrounded by clouds. It does look kind of eerie. So we were staying at a kind of lodge resort place there that was just full of separated huts. So I had a bunk mate and we were, spending the night in these huts, and these huts had a front door and a back door to them. The front door, it had a path that led into it. The back door, if you open the back door, it was just pretty much completely jungle and forest. You're very isolated from the real world. The huts that were next to you were a couple yards away, so you couldn't really see them. So we had spent a long day in the forest hiking around. We were really tired. My bunkmate and I came home and, she fell asleep right away. I was laying in my bed kind of having some trouble sleeping. And right as I would get to that point where I was almost asleep, I would hear from the back door this really clear flute playing. And it was very eerie and kind of weird. Yeah, we were in the middle of nowhere. And, I kind of thought to go up and look, but I just kept waking up and hearing this. And so I would wake up my bunkmate and say, do you hear this? Are you hearing this flute? And, of course, it was one of those things where every time I would wake her up, I would stop hearing it. And she kept looking at me like I was crazy. So this went on, probably 5 or 6 times. Finally, I got to that point where, it had kind of settled down and it stopped a little bit. And I was just really trying to fall asleep. I was kind of on edge and scared. A few minutes go by and all of a sudden I am visualizing or seeing this tall, dark figure emerge from the corner of the room and starts walking towards me really slowly. I'm trying to scream. I'm trying to yell. I can't make any noise. And the figure actually comes up to me over my bed, places his hands on top of my chest, like he's trying to strangle me. I have a really hard time breathing. And the next thing I know, I'm screaming as loud as I can. And my bunkmate is sitting next to me, like, what just happened? Are you okay? What's going on? So, very weird. And it could have, it could have well been a dream. But I was so scared that night that it makes it really hard for me to think it was a dream. I didn't sleep the rest of that night. The next morning, my whole class went to breakfast. And we had a tour guide, a Costa Rican tour guide. And he was telling me, I just flat out asked him, is this area, known to be haunted? And he said, this area is, it's so old. There were so many ancient people who used to live here. It's definitely haunted. We hear stories all the time from people staying at this resort about weird stuff that's happened to them at night. So it was just very weird. Got the validation from him that he did think it was haunted, but, just kind of went on with my life after that trip. Nothing else happened. Nothing followed me home. I kind of just, thought it was one of those weird things. Either it was haunted or it was a dream. Something weird happened. But then I fast forward 5 years later, I am sitting in a class in high school and we're actually going around the group, talking about telling stories about summer, and people were talking about their trips that they took and stuff that happened. And a group of like four girls in my class actually did the same Costa Rica trip that I had done. So they were kind of, you know, telling their experiences about their stories in Costa Rica. And they were telling me that they had a Costa Rican guide who was a female. And she told them over the campfire one night this scary story about something that happened to her. She actually lifted up her shirt to show the group her back, which was covered in a bunch of scars.
Oh,
and
my.
She had a story that when she was younger, there's a Costa Rican legend called the Legend of the Toucan. And so she said, you know, everybody in Costa Rica grew up with this story. Everybody knows about it. And so, you know, she grew up with this legend. And she said, you know, there's this legend of this man that he entices you into the forest and children will disappear for days on end without being heard from. And then children will reemerge from the forest with no memory of what happened to them. So very weird. And so she claimed
that is weird.
Yeah. So she claimed that she actually was abducted by the quote unquote toucan man when she was younger, and she disappeared into the forest for 3 days and came back out and had no idea what happened, but she had those scars as her proof. And the creepiest and weirdest part, which is where I actually started freaking out, was these girls said that the toucan man, the legend is that he entices children into the forest with a flute.
Oh boy. So 'cause that's exactly what happened to you.
Yeah. So very strange. And, you know, I've tried to do some research and look around, and it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of, you know, legends around pretty much in every culture about, you know, this music enticing children into the forest where somebody kidnaps them or takes them away. And, you know, it's like the Pied Piper. That's probably the most well-known one. So it's very interesting.
It is interesting. Well, I want to thank you for listening. And that's just kind of chilling. The idea that something happened to you and then you hear about this legend and someone who had this supposedly happen to them and it mapped perfectly to what happened to you. I'll tell you what, I won't hear the sound of a flute without thinking of that. You've ruined flutes for me, Annie.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I never was a big flute fan anyway. Well, Annie, no offense to the flautists out there. Annie, thank you for joining us today on the campfire.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
I'm excited because I'm going on a cruise this November, but I'm even more excited because you can come with me, because I'm talking about not just any cruise. I'm talking about the Mysteries Cruise. It's November 8th through the 13th, 2017, on the Crown Princess. So, you know, it's a beautiful ship. But even better is the company that will be joining me. My good buddy, Micah Hanks. Of course, you know him as an author, a podcaster, a musician, an adventurer, a Renaissance man, my co-host when we were doing the Paranormal Report. And we remain good friends to this day. And then one of the people that I admire most in this field, Rosemary Allen Guiley. She's written more books on the paranormal than you can shake a stick at, and she really knows so many different areas. I was just talking to somebody in the UFO field, and she was at a conference for that, and she's done so much with ghosts and the djinn and spirits, and just she knows her stuff. So she's really one of the people I admire the most. So I am so honored to be selected to be on this august panel that will be joining you on this Mysteries Cruise. Now, not only do we have great speakers, we have a great ship with the Crown Princess. We have a great destination. And we're going to be going to the ports of call like Grand Turk, Turks and Caicos. And we're going to be departing from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And the actual cruise itself is going to be November 8th through the 13th. But I've saved the best part for last, because right now, between April 17th and May 2nd, there is a tremendous two-week sale going on for a reduced deposit of $50 per person, plus an onboard coupon booklet that has a value of $500. Plus, if you book and use my promo code, JHMAY, and you end up going on the cruise, you will get a free autographed copy of one of my campfire books. I want to meet you. And I want to meet you on this cruise. I've been on a cruise before, and I got to tell you, in terms of relaxation, there is nothing like it. You truly have the chance to get away from it all. And what's nice about this is you'll have all those great components of a cruise, getting it away from it all, looking at the beautiful sand and the surf and the excursions that we're going to do. But also, you're going to be able to plug into all of this great information from Rosemary and Micah and to me too. So I hope to meet you there. We're going to have a great time. I love the way they do this, because what they do is they have the speakers rotate dinner with the cruisers. So we could even have dinner when we're on the cruise. I just think it is such a neat, neat idea. And I'm so thankful to the folks over at Holiday Maker Travel, Mike and Wendy, for making it possible. So without further ado, what you need to do right away is go over to mysteriescruise.com. That's mysteriescruise.com. Put down your $50 deposit. You get that onboard coupon booklet and put in that code JHMAY to get a autographed copy of one of my campfire books. And I'll see you there. And we will cruise along. I'll see you on the Mysteries Cruise. Thanks, Holiday Maker Travel. Next up on the campfire is Bill from Los Angeles, California. He's been listening, I think, for about a year, and we're so grateful that he signed up to tell his story. So let that be a lesson to everyone. He actually told it first over in our virtual campfire group, and then is kind enough to come on the program today, and we really appreciate it. And I'll not ruin the story, but this is a kind of a neat one, kind of almost in the head-scratcher category. Bill, welcome to the program. Thanks for signing up to tell your story, and tell us what happened.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me on. I love the show and love the Facebook group as well. This was an odd one. This was back in 1991, I think. I was in high school at the time. This was back in New Jersey. And just for some possible context, this area of New Jersey had seen some very heavy fighting during the American Revolutionary War. So I'm not sure what significance that may or may not have on this, but just some background on it. Anyhow, at the time I was working, it was a part-time job after school. I was basically a pan washer at a local bakery. This was in a little strip mall, and it had been there forever. I think before it had been there, it was a bank branch for a local bank for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
My station was in the back. It was sort of the store. Then there were some ovens, then a huge brick oven, and then my station in the back. Just to kind of give some context that will make sense later on. So back in my area, also for a little bit more context, there was basically a four-stage system for washing pans. So there was an area where you scrub things up with like some detergent, then sort of a sanitizing bleach solution, then a rinse. And then you piled them up in this big area kind of on top of one another with some space to let them dry. Anyhow, I was doing that. I had finished this big batch of pans, and everything was up there, and I was putting them away as they had dried. And I looked up, something kind of caught my eye. I thought it was a fly or something at first.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this tiny sort of like a bubble looking thing. And I remember I looked up at it, and it was just so odd. It wasn't scary. It's more like, what is that? And my immediate thought, because they had had some electrical work done in the ceiling, I just looked at the lights, there was a big wire hanging down. It was exposed. And I thought right away, well, maybe this is kind of like a mini ball lightning or something. And the reason I say that is because when I was 13, I had seen a lightning strike take place in my backyard. And right as the lightning hit the tree, it was like this big ball, like an orange ball of energy that was there for like maybe 5 to 10 seconds. So that kind of entered my mind. Anyhow, it was sort of like an opaque ball bearing, if that makes sense. It had like a silverish sort of reddish hue to it, almost metallic, but it looked like energy. Not that that makes sense. Anyhow, it was moving in kind of very slow little arcs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It moved around a little bit very slowly, and then it went up into the drop ceiling. It didn't pop, you know, like a soap bubble or anything like that. It kind of just went in. And I remember at the time thinking like, oh my God, I hope it doesn't cause a fire. Cause I was thinking that there must be electrical or something weird. Anyhow, about a week or so later, I'd come into work and we had a baker that would come in overnight. And he worked from like, I think it was like 9 p.m. till like 6 the next morning or something like that. He did all the bread baking at night. And he was kind of a character, and we would sort of poke fun at each other. We would joke around like that with one another. And someone said, I'll change his name a bit. Timmy said he's going to quit because of the ghosts. And we were laughing, and I said, what do you mean the ghosts? And they said, oh, it's back in your area. I said, what? What do you mean back in your area? Yeah, and they said, well, it started out, he said he heard some people talking at night, and he thought maybe it was a radio or something outside, because this was right next to there was a parking lot right outside the doors there. And so he thought that, but then he could hear like loud arguments, and then it escalated purportedly to things being thrown, like the pots and pans that I was washing, those things were getting thrown around. And that really scared him. And he just,
sure.
He told me, so that's it. So, the owner who, he was in the fire department at the time, a few towns over, he walked in and heard the conversation. He said, oh yeah, yeah, there's people have talked about some stuff back here. And he joked around because it had been a bank before. He said, maybe it's the ghost of the dead bankers. So I don't know what it is, but the reason I tell the story is because this was well before a lot of the TV shows for Paranormal Activity and talking of orbs and things like that. So the thing I've wondered now after seeing those shows many years later was, you know, did I observe an orb, or was it just, an errant bubble or something from the sink. I remember I'd asked my stepfather, who's an electrical engineer. I said, is something like that possible? Cause you know, he'd done a lot of electrical work. He said, I'd never heard of that. And the sink wasn't in use at the time. And it was more of like a detergent. It wasn't like like a sudsy bubble, like a Dawn dish
right.
soap or something
right.
like that.
Right.
So
and was it your mom who said it was haunted? That building was haunted?
Oh, yes. I forgot that part because I had mentioned it to my parents, and my mom said, oh, yeah, that building's haunted. I think there had been an article or something. I don't know when or where that would have been published, but or maybe she had heard it from someone else, but she just kind of said it very matter-of-factly. She said, yeah, that part right there, that's haunted. So I don't know, but that was my only experience in there. I never had any bad feelings or anything like that or felt anything negative. It was just that sort of weird thing, just watching it move around. And
well, I only have one explanation after all of this. It was haunted.
I think so because it's now another business in there. A few businesses have come and gone in there.
That's common
and,
too.
Yeah, and people supposedly are still reporting some activity in the back. So.
Now,
that's
you had another story? Am I remembering correctly?
I do, and I will try to quickly. This is actually, quite a scary one for me. Some of the details around why I was there and what was going on, I'll kind of leave out to protect those people. This takes place in a church, Jim, and I don't want to give too much of the identity because there's people that still go there and worship.
Sure.
So
sure.
I don't want to.
Understandable and honorable.
Yeah. So, I was getting ready to move out here to California, again in New Jersey, and this is actually kind of across the road from where the bakery was. this was many years later. I was in my early 20s. Anyhow, I was doing some work in the church, like janitorial type stuff on Saturdays when there was no mass in session. And I was in there, and there was a gentleman who took me around. And he said, okay, this is what you do. He was a groundskeeper. You should go in here and there. And I remember he said, you need to clean the sanctuary. It was kind of spooky because I grew up Catholic. I'd never heard the word sanctuary. It just sounded kind of creepy. The front yard of this place is a graveyard, and it's full of all Revolutionary War soldiers. And it's very old. I think there was, I think the original, there had been an original church that are like in the 1600s or something. So it's sort of creepy in the first place, you know. But I said, fine, okay, this is what I do. Clean this up, clean that up. No worries. So this was the very first day I was there. I said, okay, do this, do that, lock up, blah, blah, blah. And I just assumed he left. So I walked into the sanctuary area and ready to get a vacuum cleaner. I needed to clean in there and do some other things. And all of a sudden, there's two spiral wooden staircases at the front of it. And this was the newer section, which I think was built in the 1800s. And I heard very distinctly someone coming down the stairs with heavy boots, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And I just assumed it was this gentleman who was showing me around. And let's call him Rick. I said, Rick, is that you? And I just thought, well, there must be an office upstairs or something, because, you know, I wasn't really familiar with the church. And I looked up and I saw that there was an upper pew section, and I kind of followed my eye and it just stopped. And I'm like, well, okay, there's no office up there. And I think I would have seen him standing over me. I then looked out the window and you can see the entire parking lot there, and there's nowhere else to park your car. And his truck was gone. And I'm looking around and I'm calling out to him, and the it keeps coming closer and closer and closer down these stairs, and it's loud. It's like someone with boots on. And it just hit me. He's not here. I'm all by myself. And it was like this moment of terror. So I realized what was going on. And I bolted out of that church across a highway. And I must have done it like in record time. It was probably Olympic time. And I was across the street just staring at the church, breathing heavy, hands on my knees, just going like, oh my God, this is my first day here. What's going on? You know?
Right.
So, I just went inside one of the shops there. I got like a soda or something to drink, kind of calmed down. I said, okay, maybe it's a pipe. Maybe it's something else. The problem is that every day, and I noticed after a while, every day at 12 noon, it seemed around, that same event would happen. I wouldn't see anything. I wouldn't hear anything. I'm sorry. I wouldn't see anything. I would only hear the boots coming down the steps. And the walls were so thin that this was during the winter months too. I was outside shoveling the walk in front, and I figured, oh, I'm safe. I'm right in front of the sanctuary, but you know, it's not going to bother me because I'm not inside. Well, I heard it, boom, boom. And you could hear it right outside of the church. And I remember I just jumped as I was shoveling. I would even tell friends, I'm like, just please come over and hang out with me a little bit because I'm scared. And so after that, I would just put headphones in and just pretty much try to ignore it. I worked there for, I don't know, maybe a few more weeks. That was about it. They didn't really need me for anything anymore. It was just sort of a little extra cash. And then I moved out here to Los Angeles and met my now wife. And I told her the story about it, and she would kind of thought, oh, I don't know about that. You know, it sounds kind of so-so. I said, well, I said, if you go there on a Saturday, we go to visit my parents, and you stand up front, you'll hear it. Like, oh, okay, whatever. So we went there, and I think it was around 2007. And we were outside, and I said, okay, let's kind of drive around here. You can see there's nowhere else to park a car, right? Yeah, okay. Listen, now let's just kind of walk around the grounds. You can see there's no one here. Right? She goes, yeah, okay. So we stood in front of the church right at those big doors. And I'm showing her some stuff and I'm explaining some of the history, this new unique history there that unfortunately I can't get into. I would identify it. And as we're doing that, I heard boom, boom. And I jumped again. I almost went to run and she did too. And I just started laughing. And she looked at me. She said, oh, I guess he's saying hello. So, That's pretty much the story.
Well, you've given us a couple of great stories. I really appreciate it. I think that they really make you think, you know, these things happen to real people just going about the course of their daily lives. And in some ways, to be honest with you, I think the stories that happen in that way, in many ways, are more impressive than maybe if somebody saying, oh, we're going out ghost hunting.
Yeah, I was certainly not looking for this, especially to be there in the church alone, I think I would do everything I could to avoid that one area. And I had actually mentioned it to my mother, and this time she kind of looked at me and she said, "Oh, come on, you can't have a haunting in a church," because she's very very religious.
Right.
So she figures that can't happen. But our next door neighbor, who was a parishioner, well, not a parishioner, I guess a member of the church at the time, said, "No, there's been some stories." And I didn't want to hear the stories because I still needed to do some work there. So I figured I really don't want to see anything. There was a basement too that was like supposedly just like dirt. It was very old. And I actually just refused to go down there. I said, "No, I'm sorry. I'm not comfortable going down there."
Wow. It's well, just,
yeah. Bill, I was like, "No, that's enough."
I don't blame you. Well, Bill, thank you for telling your stories tonight on The Campfire.
Thank you.
If you like Campfire, you'll want to check out Jim's other free podcasts. Be sure to tune into the Paranormal Podcast, Crime Scene, and TV You Grew Up With. You can find them at jimharrell.com and wherever fine podcasts are heard. Check them out. You might just get hooked. Get your marshmallows ready. Now we return to Campfire.
Paula is a brand new listener to The Campfire, been listening for about a month, said, "Kept finding us popping up in online reviews of the best paranormal podcasts and saw us several times and said, maybe I should check this out." And now she says she's officially hooked. So mission accomplished. Paula has a story. This sounds like one of my favorite types of stories, and I'll let her tell it to you. Paula, welcome to the program as a listener and now as a storyteller, and tell us what happened.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for having me. So my story is pretty straightforward. It involves my grandfather who passed away now about 10 years ago and my aunt. So after my grandfather passed away, I would probably say this probably happened maybe like 2 months after he passed away. My aunt was taking a nap on the couch in her house and she woke up from the nap. She was not dreaming when this happened. She woke up from the nap, she stretched and she stood up. Then all of a sudden, she felt a really cold breeze, and she was covered in goosebumps and felt kind of weird. So she turned around, and there was my grandfather appearing to her, standing on the other side of the couch. And she said that she froze. She started sobbing, and she said to him, "What do you want me to say to the family?" And he said, "I'm always going to be looking over you guys."
Wow.
And then he just dissipated and vanished. It was pretty emotional, pretty crazy. It was kind of funny though, because my aunt and my grandfather always used to butt heads.
Right.
So she thought, "Oh no, he came back to fight with me one last time." But so it was kind of sweet. She was very shaken up by it, and she was almost a little traumatized for a little time afterwards. But it was kind of a sweet story. And there have been times for me and for my family members where, you know, he'll pop up in our minds and we'll feel his presence around us and we know that he's there. I've personally have never seen him. I would love to miss the guy like crazy. But that's the story. And if there isn't, I can call back. There's a second part to it, which I think it'll be quick. You don't mind?
No, go ahead. Please tell me. Please tell.
Okay, great. Thanks. So this happened 2 years ago. 2 years ago in my family's house, we recently remodeled the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And right before doing so, my mom and I would be sitting in the living room and we would hear these random sounds in the kitchen that honestly kind of sounded like the plates, like a plate would fall inside of a cabinet or a cup, and we would go look inside and open it, and everything would be fine.
Right.
Okay, we thought, okay, whatever, you know, they're old cabinets made of wood. They creak, they make noises. And then one morning I woke up and my mom came to my room. She said, "You know, last night I couldn't sleep. I'm watching TV in our living room, and I swear to you, it sounds like someone is banging on the refrigerator door from the inside." I was like, "What? Okay, that's weird." She said, "You know, I think there's something wrong with it. We have to get a new fridge." Okay. So I think about a week later, I go to see a psychic. I know, plot twist. I go to see a psychic because I was trying to see if I could get a message from my grandfather. And the psychic stops and looks at me and she says, "Have you guys been having some trouble in your kitchen?"
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "What?" And she said, "Well, let your mom know that that's her dad." And I looked at her like, "What are you saying? What do you mean?" She said, "Well, you guys have been hearing weird sounds in your kitchen, right?"
Huh.
I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, that's your grandfather. That's his weird way of letting you guys know that he's there." And I thought, okay, well, and obviously I told my mom, and we ended up not even getting a new fridge. But yeah, so I thought that was like an interesting way of, it was kind of comforting in a weird way. But yeah, those are my two little stories. And I have more stuff, but I'll call back.
Oh, that'll be great. But I really appreciate those. And I love the fact that she was all ready to have him yell at her, but he said, "Oh, I'll just be watching out for you." And
absolutely.
That's, now she doesn't think that was part of a dream or anything like that. She
doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the thing with the psychic, I love the fact the psychic said, "Oh, you've been having problems in your kitchen." that's really some validation.
Before I even said anything, she sort of brought that up and I was like, okay, well, I mean, if you're talking about it, I'm going to believe you.
Yeah. The fact she brought it up and you didn't, that's something else. Well, Paula,
right.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I thank you so much, Jim, for listening to the show. I'm glad you like it. And please keep listening and tell your friends.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed this show as much as I did. I love the campfire. It just seems to resonate with people. And I hope that you will tune in again next week. Also, don't forget to check out our virtual campfire group. It's free and it's on Facebook. And it just hit over 11,000 members this week. So thanks to everybody who shares their stories over there, in addition to the podcast. And to my assistant producer, Maddie, who has done a great job in moderating. And we have some other great moderators over there. Thank you to them. And also, we have a few people that are kind of act as our early warning system. If somebody posts something that they're not supposed to, Brian is always chiming in and say, "Hey, guys, take a look at this." So I appreciate his help as kind of monitoring to make sure we keep the content good and pure. And that we do, or we do the best we can. And it's fun over there. So check it out. Jim Harold's Virtual Campfire on Facebook. And we hope that you will return once again next week to listen. Tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. And as always, stay spooky. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.